Well, Abigail Adams was the wife of John Adams, our second president, and the mother of John Quincy Adams, our sixth president of the United States. She was quite a woman, quite a wife, quite a mother. Abigail Adams believed that it was her duty to give John Quincy and her other kids advice about a future spouse. She often wrote letters to John Quincy once he was kind of on the road with his dad and traveling with his dad. She wrote one letter that urged her son to respect women deeply, to seek virtue over charm or appearance. She warned him not to be swayed merely by beauty or flattery, but to look for qualities like integrity, faith, and strength of mind. She essentially told him that a woman's character mattered more than her outward appeal, and this is significant, and that the kind of woman he chose would shape the course of his entire life. Abigail Adams. She was a good mom. She gave good advice. And as we've been looking at the book of Proverbs over the last several months, we have seen parents giving advice to a son, mostly a dad giving advice to a son, some mom stuff in there. But today, as we continue to study the book of Proverbs, we're going to see a lot of a mom's advice to her son. As we're studying Proverbs about walking wisely in a foolish world, it is wise to hear this mom's advice to her son. So look at Proverbs 31, just verse 1. It'll be on the screen. But this sets the context of what we're studying the rest of Proverbs 31 later. The word of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. All right, so that's the context of what we're getting ready to study. We're going to look at what King Lemuel recorded, but it was taught by mom. And this advice from mom is basically saying, this is what she must be if she wants to marry my son. And before we get into verses 12 through 31, I want to note a couple things about this passage. First, it is a poem. It's a poem. Mom wrote a poem about it. Like, she sat down. I wonder how old Lemuel is at this time. She sat down. Is like, I'm going to give him some advice, and he's going to learn this. And he did, because we've got it written down from King Lemuel. Secondly, this poem is an acrostic. Each line starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it is to be remembered. It is the A to Z of what he must be looking for in a future wife. There's a fullness to it. There's a breadth and depth. Derek Kidner calls it the alphabet of wifely excellence. But this poem is also a chiasm. It works inward to the main point and then back outward. We've seen that in different passages of Scripture, that kind of like a final four bracket, you kind of think it goes like forward. That's what's going on, but the text goes inward and then back outward. So we'll see that as we go later on in the message. And ladies, I think Proverbs 31 is often taught as if it is for you, as if you're the main audience. But I actually think from the context, though this should encourage you, you're not the primary audience. Your son is. This is a mother's high standard for her son. This is not just Abigail Adams' wisdom for her son. This is sacred scripture teaching for our sons. So let's look at this poem, and then let's see what this son should be looking for in a future spouse. Let's look at verse 10 and following. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes her bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Lord, we pray that you would help us know your word, honor your word, the intent of your word, and apply your word today. Guard my mouth from error, and let us honor and please you. In Jesus' name, amen. I can't think King Lemuel's mom's teaching, like the quality of what this lady is, can be seen in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The motive of this Proverbs 31 lady is to be an honoring of the Lord, a fearing of the Lord. She's a woman of wisdom, and this whole book of Proverbs is about a son becoming wise. You see that in chapter 1 and all the way through. Now, basically, mom's saying, now get a wife that's just like that too. Like, you be wise, son, and now get a very wise bride. Son, look for a lady who fears the Lord. That is what King Lemuel's mom wants for him. But that wisdom is going to play out in a lot of areas. That is what the acrostic poem is all about. So let's see mom's advice. And we're going to have 7 points today, so buckle up. Some of them are very short, so some of you guys are getting nervous, like cancel your lunch reservations. I'm just kidding. But mom has a lot to say, and it would be wise for us to heed Scripture and what this mom's advice is. Son, this is the kind of girl you need to look for. First, look for a trustworthy woman. Look for a trustworthy woman. Verse 10 says that finding an excellent wife is more precious than jewels. This is a worthy woman. It's worth a man pursuing to find a woman like this. And we see at the end of the acrostic poem that the man actually praises his wife for being this type of woman. This is the kind of woman you want, son. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. This mom is saying, son, you need to marry a trustworthy woman. She's a woman who honors God with her life and is truthful. She's a woman that's not manipulative or contentious. She's not flirtatious with others. She is trustworthy. Verse 12 says, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. So we see that mom wants this future wife. She wants her daughter-in-law to be this way, to do good to her son, to do good from wife to husband, to have a disposition toward the son. She says to the son, you want a woman that wants your good. Obviously, the mom wants the good of the son, but she's saying, son, you want a wife who will do you good and not harm. You want a wife who has a disposition toward you, toward your leadership, toward following you. Let me just say something to the single ladies. If you're starting to date a guy and you realize that he's not that great of a leader and you can't follow him, it's time to run. Like, don't walk, run. It's time to stop that relationship. You see, biblical manhood calls a man toward humble, loving, servant-hearted leadership. And biblical womanhood calls a woman toward respectful following and helping. So if you can't follow the guy, don't pursue him. Now back to the mom's advice in this passage. Notice that a trustworthy wife who has a disposition toward her husband for good brings no lack of gain. It benefits not only the husband, but it benefits the kids. Not only the kids, it benefits society. Abigail Adams was a great example of this. She benefited her husband, the second president, John Adams. She benefited her son, John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, but she benefited a nation. Moms, there is an outsized influence that you have as you pour into your home and into the next generation. It affects generations. I've seen that personally. The person who has had the biggest influence and impact on my life is my mom. The person who has prayed the most for my future wife when I was single was my mom. The person who's the biggest fan of my wife, Kristen, besides me, is my mom. And if I ever did anything to disrespect or not care for Kristen, my mom would pull out the belt that she pulled out many, many times as a kid. Kristen and I are affected by my mom. Our 9 kids are affected by my mom. But not just my kids, my brother and his 4 kids are affected by my mom. Let me just get the generations here. If all of our kids get married and all of them have 2 kids, that's a family size of 56 people that all look to this one woman, mom, grandma, great grandma. We call her Nana. Moms, this passage is huge for you. It's written about how you are to be, what you do in pouring into the next generation, and what a massive impact that has. You want your sons to pursue trustworthy spouses because it will affect your ministry to generations. Let's look at the next characteristic that this son should look for in a future wife. Look for a resourceful woman. Look for a resourceful woman. The greatest chunk of this poem has to do with the resourcefulness of this lady. You see that in verses 13 through 19. You can glance through those as you go. This lady is amazing. She works really hard. She provides food for her family. She is good at business endeavors. But you notice that her business builds over time. It begins with her hands working raw wool and flax. And then it shifts to trading the products that she's made for food. But then it shifts to purchasing a field. It's like the wisdom and the stature of what she's doing continues to grow. It shifts to purchasing a field. And to purchase a field, she starts a vineyard. Then she spins and sews clothing and bedding and provides for many. Verse 27 says that she looks out for her household. She's not lazy. You might think, wow, mom, your standards are pretty high. I've heard many a lady that's been discouraged by this passage. The Proverbs 31 lady doesn't even sleep. Her lamp doesn't go out. Actually, that's probably referring to she has a lot of oil. Like, she doesn't have to conserve the oil, ladies. So she actually probably does sleep. She's a creature just like you and I are. But is that the point of the passage? Is it supposed to discourage ladies and show you all the ways you fail? I don't think so. I think this passage is trying to tell a son that his future wife should honor the Lord with her hands, her skills, her abilities, her life. I don't think this is saying that all ladies are to have the same skills, but that a son needs to look for a wife that uses what God gives her. I don't think Johnny Erickson Tada, who's a paraplegic, should read this text and feel condemned. I think Mrs. Tada reads this passage and starts using her gifts of writing and teaching and painting and bless other ladies. I think Mrs. Tada reads this passage and started blessing her community by starting the organization Johnny and Friends to help children with disabilities. I think Mrs. Tada reads this passage and uses her skills and abilities that God has given her. So ladies, in the season you are in, are you honoring God with the skills and abilities that God has given you in your season? Not someone else's season, your season. And see that that season is for the glory of God. If you're taking care of little ones in the middle of the night, having feedings, ladies, that is worthy work that glorifies God. If you are overseeing the schooling or education of elementary school kids, that is worthy work that glorifies God. If you are pouring into other ladies in the church in your neighborhood, that is worthy work that glorifies God. If you're working outside the home to serve your family and honor God, that is worthy work that glorifies God. If it is those late night conversations with teenagers and your eyes are falling and you're like, help, I'm so tired, and they keep talking, that is worthy work that glorifies God. If you're loving your husband and adult children as an empty nester, ladies, that is worthy work that displays God's glory. Friends, we don't want to let Proverbs 31 limit what God-glorifying resourcefulness looks like. You don't have to go buy a field today and plant a vineyard. That's not what this text is saying. We simply want to be the type of people who walk out obedience to our King in every sphere, in every moment, in every season for the worthy work that God has made us for. And it's going to change in different seasons of life. And right now, especially young moms, you're like, it's never going to change. I remember like propping Kristen up, and we got a lot of kids. It's like, it doesn't feel like it's ever going to change at moments. It's worthy work. Each season is worthy work that glorifies God. And ladies, our culture tries to say that men and women need to compete. But this Proverbs 31 lady isn't even thinking about that. Her disposition is toward her husband and children, and that enhances her resourcefulness. She's continually looking to serve her family and love her family. She isn't about feministic strategies. This is about godly and biblical femininity. This is about worthy work that honors God with her life. God gives everyone different capacities. But what this passage is saying is that the young man should look for a woman who is resourceful in the capacities that God has given that particular lady. Mom's list, though, continues. Point number three. Son, look for a caring woman. Look for a caring woman. Look at verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She doesn't turn her nose up to the poor. She doesn't ignore the poor. She actually treats them as image bearers. Mom says, son, look for a future bride who loves and cares for others. Look for a future bride who looks at the least of these and wants to help. Look for a future bride who's not selfish and not materialistic, but has a generous heart. Look for a bride that sacrifices and uses her resourcefulness to help others and to love others, care for the orphan and the widow. Look for a caring woman. But mom keeps going. She wants Lemuel to have his standards high for this future spouse. Point number four, look for a confident woman. Look for a confident woman. Look at verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at time to come. This lady has a confidence, but it's not a confidence in herself. This isn't just like a confidence because of all of her abilities. It's a confidence in the Lord. This is a woman who fears the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you can laugh at times to come. Friends, you pick up no hint of anxiety in this lady. No hint of worry. She's laughing. You don't have to fear the future. You don't have to fear the unknown horizon. Verse 21 says that she's not even afraid when snow's coming. Why? Because she's prepared for it. She's not gripped by the latest weather, the latest headlines, the latest stock market, the latest trends. She's not worried because her confidence is in God. She's content in the Lord and confident in Him. I once was given some pastoral wisdom. An older pastor said to me, kind of pulled me aside and said, you know how you have to often help men with their battle against lust? It's like, well, yeah, I know that. He said, you will have to often help ladies in the church with their battle against fear. Now, lust is not only a male issue, and fear is not only a female issue, but there are strong tendencies that you see here. Ladies, fear may be a frequent struggle and regular temptation for you. It may be an area that the Lord wants to help you battle so that you can actually look at the future and laugh. Because you have a firm and solid confidence in God. I remember a particular difficult time in a living situation we had years ago. And I remember a verse that my wife just printed off and put on the door of a closet. We would see it every day. We would pass it every day. And it just helped her. It was Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Like, we needed that stability. She needed that stability. She was struggling with some fears, struggling with some discontentment, and she wanted God's word to form her heart. We must trust God in every part of our lives, whether we're men or women. Psalm 62 speaks that our soul can rest in God alone. He is our confidence. And moms, it's good to give advice to your sons that this is the type of woman he is looking for. A lady who's confident in Christ, confident in her identity in Christ, not gripped by the fear of the unknown. The next characteristic that the young man is to seek in a wife, point number five, is look for a wise woman. Look for a wise woman. Now, obviously, the entire passage is talking about looking for a wise woman. The entire book is talking about wisdom in Proverbs. But look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This lady is not speaking foolishly. She's not using her words, or she is using her words, sorry, to build up and not tear down. She is teaching probably her kids and others the way of kindness, the way of the Lord. Son, you don't want a gossip. Son, you don't want a busybody. Son, you don't want a wife who meddles in other people's conflicts. No, you want a lady, as verse 26 says, she opens her mouth and there's wisdom coming out. There's wisdom. She uses her tongue for kindness. That's the type of woman you want. Son, that is the type of woman, mom says. And as the acrostic poem continues, King Lemuel's mom kind of has him pull back and think about the future. I'm so curious how old King Lemuel is when he learns this poem that he ends up writing later. But he says, think about your future bride. Think about the years that will pass. You'll have kids and who she will be years from now. Point number six, look for a worthy woman. Look at verse 28. I love the end of this poem. Verse 28, her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. This is such a great verse because most of the verses in the acrostic poem are speaking of what the Proverbs 31 lady does. This speaks of who she is and the fruit of her life. And those who are closest to her, what they see. They see fruit in her life. There's joy. There's esteeming her highly as a wife and a mom. And this is a foreshadow, ladies, of the well done, good and faithful servant that your ultimate husband, Jesus, will say to you one day. Well done, wife. Well done, mom. That's what the husband and kids are saying here. It is the praise of the family upon a wife and mom who has laid down her life for her family. And friends, note that everything in this acrostic poem is really having this lady focus on others. Like, she doesn't focus on herself. She's focused on others. She does good to her husband. She provides food for her household. She takes part in business to bless her family. She makes clothes for her kids. She gives to the poor. You might look through the text and you see verse 22 and says, no, Mike. It says she makes bed coverings for herself. See, she does it for herself. I heard Karen Mahaney talk about this. She's like, she makes bed coverings. Do you think that's for her? I think it's probably for her husband. It follows through with she pretties herself up in what she wears. So Kelly Mahaney's like, I think even that, it's for her husband. See, verse 29 then gives the praise from her husband. It says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. You see this husband and this family, they have great love and appreciation for this lady. She is worthy of praise because she has lived a life pursuing God, loving God, honoring God. And before we move to verse 30, which I think is a central part of the praiseworthiness about this lady, we must stop, and I want to address the husbands and fathers in the room. Guys, it is our job to set the culture of encouragement in our homes toward our wife and our kids' mom. It's our job to set the culture. Ray Ortland puts it this way: kids learn to praise mom from a dad who praises mom. If our kids aren't praising mom, guys, there's some work we got. There's some culture-setting change in our home. Men, we are to cultivate this type of praise and honor for our wife. We set the tone. We point out evidences of God's grace in our wife's life. We nurture and cherish our wife and then teach our kids, you're going to respect mom. And we set this culture of encouragement and honoring mom. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, if we do not admire what is praiseworthy, we shall be stupid, insensible, and great losers. C.S. Lewis doesn't mince words very often. Guys, we don't want to be stupid and great losers, right? So what do? We honor what God calls us to honor. There is a very rare in Scripture where praise is to be given toward a human. It's always to be given toward God. This is a rare exception where God is saying, husband, praise your wife. Child, praise your mom. Not in an ultimate worship way, right? But in a way of praising God for them, pointing out evidences of grace in them. Guys, let's not be losers. Let's honor our wives. Let's teach our kids to do likewise. And what is so praiseworthy? Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's linked here about what all of Proverbs is about. All of wisdom is about. It's an honoring. It's an awe of God. It's fearing the Lord. This lady fears the Lord and has wisdom. And the Lemuel's mom says, son, this is what you need. This is the kind of girl you need to look for. And years from now, you will praise her, and my grandkids will praise her. You and your kids will rejoice in the work of God in your wife. Hey, buddy, I wrote a poem about it. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Bet, Gamil, Dalet, Hey, Vav. I took Hebrew for like 2 semesters, and that's all I remember. I wrote a poem. So you remember this as you get older and you're out of the house and you look for a spouse. Oh, let mom's words remind you what you need, buddy. So we've looked at this poem from mom to son, and I think the main qualification of the future wife is that she fears the Lord. But what is the main point of the poem? I mentioned at the beginning that this poem is a chiasm. A chiasm is almost like that bracket, like I said. It goes down and then goes back out. So what is the main point? Well, the main point is the middle of the poem. The middle of the chiasm is the main point that the author is trying to make. So what is the middle of the chiasm? Well, it is verse 23. I've always thought verse 23 was the weirdest verse in this passage. Because why is it talking about the guy in a poem that's talking about the lady and what she's supposed to be? But if the point is that a mom is giving advice to her son, it starts making sense. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. That's the middle of the poem. That's the point that this son needs to learn. Here's what King Lemuel's mom is saying to King Lemuel, or, you know, son Lemuel at the time. Look for a woman who builds your reputation. Look for a woman who builds your reputation. This is the main advice the mom is giving, that this lady should elevate who you are, your character. She should enhance who you are. And I heard an illustration that I think can help us here. There was a gentleman who was a big executive for an insurance company, and he and his wife were on a trip. They stopped at a gas station. While the man went inside, the wife started talking to the gas station attendant. As they drove away, the wife started telling her husband that she actually knew this gas station attendant. They actually went to high school together, and she used to date him. The husband loved that. He started laughing, and he said, just think, if you would have married him, you would be the wife of a gas station attendant. She laughed and said, oh, no, honey. If I'd have married him, you would have been the gas station attendant, and he would have been the executive for an insurance company. You see, the often quoted parable, behind every great man, there's a great woman, is much of what King Lemuel's mom's trying to say. Because I think King Lemuel's mom has been the great woman behind Lemuel. And she's saying, you need somebody, buddy. You need somebody. I want a really good daughter-in-law who fears the Lord for you. Lemuel's mom wants a daughter-in-law who enhances her son's life, who elevates his godliness, who emboldens his trust in God, who blesses the community. And friends, notice what verse 23 is saying. The husband isn't just sitting at the gate to drink beer and smoke a cigar. Like, this isn't like hangout time with the boys while wife is out working her tail off. That is not what's going on here. The city gate is where leaders of the city would lead. This is where the judicial system worked out. This is where the court system and governing system and places of leadership were, at the gate of the city. Bruce Waltke says this, the valiant wife's accomplishments empower her husband to lead the nation in righteousness and justice. So mom is saying, have a wife that you trust so much that she can free you to serve others. This lady does her husband good. This lady builds his reputation. This lady receives her husband's greatest praise. This is the type of wife that mama wants for her son. This type of lady is to be commended. This type of lady is to be praised. Bruce Waltke says this: the valiant wife has been canonized as a role model for all Israel for all time. Wise daughters aspire to be like her. Wise sons seek to marry her. And all wise people aim to incarnate her virtues. And ladies of Risen Hope, we see these virtues in you. As C.S. Lewis said, we don't want to be losers and not recognize this. So I've asked several of our older men to give me sentences about their bride. And I want you to hear about the Proverbs 31 ladies in our midst. I want you younger ladies to have something to aim for. I want you single guys to be like, okay, that's what I'm looking for in a future wife. That's what I want. Kevin Kadamus says, Diana, you are more precious than rubies to me, especially when I see your devotion to the Lord pour out into kindness. You show people in need and the beautiful way you love our family. I am the most blessed of men to walk beside you. Christopher Warren says, Stephanie is a woman of impeccable character whose resolute strength, sacrificial compassion, persistent joy, and relentless pursuit of her Savior overflows in blessing to those around her. Bill Gunther says, my wife Nancy has made me the man I am. Still going strong at 80 years of age. Stephen Chanel says, to my beautiful wife, you are such a godly woman, a diligent, hard worker, and you're always caring for and thinking about other people's needs, both physically and spiritually. Rich Lumsden said, Michelle, I want to commend you for the work that Christ is doing in your life, the tireless and endless work you do, watching over our household, schooling our children, clothing them, bringing food from afar, and serving faithfully in children's ministry at Risen Hope. Bill Jason says, my wife, Marcella, I thank God for you. And am reminded of Proverbs 31 in that your beauty, grace of character, and virtuous way are a true testimony of the Christ that is within you. Christmas Casty says, Dana blesses our home with tenderness, nurture, prudence, diligence, and wisdom, all wrapped in love and beautiful humility. She is a gift from God to us all. Mark Tanner says, Beth gives out the heart of Proverbs 31 in the way she loves, leads, and cares for our family with strength when things are difficult, wisdom in the decisions that she makes, and a steady, faithful presence that makes our home better every day. And Phil Kwiatkowski says this, I can put my full trust in Carrie, knowing that she is compassionate, active, hardworking, and intelligent in reverence of the Lord. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Well done, ladies. Thank you, men, for writing those. Guys, that is glorifying God, to honor what is worthy of honor, which honors King Jesus.